I'm going to do a couple things this morning. I'm going to share God's word with you. We're going to share communion together. And then we're going to pray for those who are going on the missions trip this week to Ireland. And you are a part of that. You're sending them. The Bible says, how can they go unless they're sent? And so we want to pray over them and send them today. Amen. Close your eyes, bow your head with me one moment as I pray. Father, thank you today for your love, your grace, and your great hand that is upon all that is happening here in this house, not only today, but in the days ahead. Thank you for testimonies like Will, God, that 15 years of faithfulness, loving you and serving you, and so many others that are here that serve you for 6 months, 6 years, some even for 60 years. I pray that testimonies like that will continue to be a normal. We give you all thanks now, and we ask you to do what you do best, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you brought a Bible with you, if you want to open it up to Luke chapter 17, I'm going to look at a couple scriptures here this morning, and I want to talk to you this morning about something that I think is critical. And I've always been prone to be someone that has shown in giving thankfulness, but I think after really pondering this and studying this and looking at this, that I want to bring this to another level in my life. I heard somebody tell a story just some time ago that they were teaching their children about thankfulness. And, you know, in the times that we live in, you can't get the right gift for everybody all the time. So gift cards are a big thing. And this person said that whenever any of his children receive a gift card or a gift of any kind, that before they can spend or use that gift card, they have to send a thank you to the person that sent it to them. And I thought, boy, that's just so incredible, just to do the little and then some in our lives, to teach our children and to teach our own lives that we need to be thankful for the things that come to us. And wouldn't that be just an incredible lesson for you and I really to cinch in our heart today, to be just so grateful and so thankful? You know, I pondered the verse that we all know, excuse me, out of John 3:16, where it says that God so loved the world. And wouldn't that scripture be less than if it just said, for God loved the world? But the scripture brings an emphasis to the word God so love the world. And I think that's important that we recognize the little things, the emphasis. And I think an emphasis needs to be on our lives of giving great thanks. And I guess nothing moves me more in my own personal life than when my grandkids have a birthday or something, and we just celebrated two of them having a birthday this past week, Andrew and Gabriel. And when we give them something and they come up to us and they say thank you to me. And, you know, all my grandkids, there's something special about each one of them to me. And this last week, you know, as big as Gabriel's getting, he just turned 12 and he'll still come up and he knows I'm a hugging machine and I hug him and I kiss him. He never says that he doesn't like it. I hope he doesn't ever get to that place. But little Andrew, my youngest grandson, he come up to me, and I think Patty bought him bow and arrow, you know, some Nerf thing or something. I don't know. He's shooting his brother with it or something like that. But I'll tell you, he came up to me. He put his arm around my neck, and he leaned into me and whispered his lips right on my ear, thank you, Poppy. My God, I wanted to go to the store and buy him something else just to get another thank you. And there's nothing that touches my heart more than to hear that thankfulness. This past Christmas, when I went through what I went through and I had that pulmonary embolism and landed in the hospital, I think the greatest gift that I got was when I came home. But before that, I had made up my mind that I was going to do something. I had made plans with the kids before they got out of school. When they're off, I'd love to have them all over at the house. We have them all come stay overnight. And it's the most hilarious thing to see five grandkids in on our living room. And They're just talking. They're laughing. They don't even have to say anything. It's just one starts laughing. They all start laughing. And I'm telling you, some of you ought to connect with that. You ought to start laughing more than complaining. But anyways, I said, we're going to do something special. I made up my mind that after I was in the hospital that I wanted to get some cookies or some Christmas cookies and take them to the nurses, to the aides, to the doctors on that floor where I was at Highland Hospital. So I asked Jessica Busniak, she makes these beautiful cookies and cakes. I said, makes all these beautiful, she painted them up or frosted them, not real paint, frosting, it looked like paint, all these beautiful cookies. And the kids stayed over, and I was going to take them all the next day. We'll deliver these cookies to the hospital. Then I take them all to lunch. Then I take them to a movie. And then after that, I take them to Dunkin' Donuts and buy them anything they want. Then I send them all home. Hallelujah. So here we are. I got them loaded up in the vehicle, pull into the hospital. It's cold. I said, hold each other's hand, carrying all these cookies. We go up to the floor. We're walking down the corridor in the hospital on the floor where I was at. I walked up to the station. They're all looking at me like, who is this? Hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. You know, it's always different when they see you. You don't have many clothes on. Then when you come in, you got clothes on. Who are you? You got to get naked for them to recognize who you are. Praise God. I don't know why I said that, but it just wanted you to get the whole picture. So I'm bringing in the cookies, and I set them down. And before we got there, I told the kids, I said, I want you to do something. Kids, when we give those, I want you all to look at them and say in unison together, thank you for taking care of my Boppy. We got in there, set them cookies down. They're all looking. The doctors are coming. Nurses are coming. Felt bad for the patients that were in need right then. They got left alone. Some of even the patients were walking out there looking. I said, okay, guys, tell them what you're going to tell them. And in unison, it was like a chorus. It was like the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They said, thank you for taking care of our Boppy. I looked around. Some of the nurses, they had tears running. They're holding each other like that. The doctors were there. They're always, you know, all uptight. And they're there like that. Can we have a cookie now? And it was one of the most beautiful moments that I think I'll ever remember. And it was an important lesson that I inserted and sowed into the lives of my grandchildren that day. Not to take anything for granted. Instead of people thinking, well, that's what they get paid for, we ought to thank them because not everybody gets a thank you after they do things that is well deserving. But I want to propose to you something even more than that today. I want to tell you that thank yous are not just appropriate after you receive your miracle, but thank yous are appropriate before you even get your miracle. And this is the lesson that Jesus gives us. One of the greatest lessons that we ever see in the Bible and two of the scriptures that he talks about, one of them was that, and it's one of the only places in the scripture where someone actually stops and gives God thanks. And it's found in the scripture in Luke 17, verses 11. It says that it happened as he went to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a certain village, he met 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, Master, have mercy on us. Now, we could talk a whole lot about this scripture, about the place that they were at and the scenario that is taking place, but I want to focus in on one important lesson in this today that is so pertinent to you and I. And the Bible says in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Their leprosy was gone. In verse 15, and it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, look at this, he returned with a loud voice and glorified God. In verse 16, it says, he fell down on his face, on his feet, fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, it's obvious to know that this man, the Samaritan, who was a cast out in his own right, Maybe the other nine were Jews because the scripture says that they referred to him as a foreigner. But he was the only one that stopped to go back after he received something that he had asked for and God gave it to him. He was the only one that stopped and paused. And in the only place, I believe, in the whole scripture, we have scripture where it says that people received things and they went praising God. But one time in the whole word of God where it said that somebody stopped to say thank you to Jesus. And remember this, that whenever you feel entitled, you will never be grateful. Whenever you feel like you deserve it, you will never have a thankful heart. Somebody needs to hear this today, because our culture goes around saying, when you get it, then you say thankful. And others say, you deserve it, you should get it, and nobody should get any thanks for it. And the scripture goes on to say, in verse 17, Jesus answered and said, hey, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the nine? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except, here it is, the foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Oh, wait a minute, I thought he already got what he needed. Listen, we live in this temporal life that we think what we need is this right now. And if God, you give me this, everything will be all right. But this man, this Samaritan, this foreigner, he knew something more. When he returned and gave thanks, the Bible says that his leprosy was not only cleansed, but the scripture says, your faith has made you well. And that word well is the same Greek word used for salvation. It's sozo. And at that moment, that man's life was not only healed, but every need that he had in his life was met at that one moment that he said thank you to God. The nine were cleansed, but only one came back and said thank you. And I think it's important for us at times and all the time that we stop and just say thank you to God. Why is it sometimes that we go on in life and we live a thankless life and it becomes boring and it becomes stuffy and it becomes stuck? It's because we don't stop to give God any thanks. That's why in services many times, I'll just want to pause and give God some thanks right in the middle of it, even before he's done anything, because I know God is faithful and he's going to do something great in our lives. Come on, you ought to thank him right now. And thankfulness not only takes you from where you are, but it takes you to where you need to be. And you all know the story, the dilemma that came about with Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, that he had 4,000 men, the Bible says, plus women and children, but the scriptures is 4,000 men that came to hear him, and he didn't want to send them away without feeding them. And so the Bible says that as he looked around for food, there were 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes. Have you ever been there? When you didn't have enough to do what you knew God called you to do? I live there. And I don't always handle it right. And have you ever really felt like you were upset or maybe you're angry? And I love what Jesus didn't do. He didn't stand up and say, we're in trouble now, God. We've got all these people here. We said we were going to feed them and I don't have any food. What are we going to do now, Lord? You better do something. You better come through for me. You better do it now, Lord, because they're hungry and it's time to eat. And our prayer sometimes could be that same way. I need this job now. I need this finance now. I need this new car now. I need this spouse, this husband or wife. I need them right now. And Jesus sets this precedent here that is amazing. That he says in Matthew chapter 15, it says he asked them to sit down. In verse 36, he took the 7 loaves. He took what he had. The 7 loaves and a few fishes. And look at what he does. He doesn't hold them up and say, I don't know what we're going to do. This is all we've got. But he does what you and I need to do. And he gives us a revelation in this. And the Bible says he gave thanks. Oh, he gave thanks. He broke them and he gave them to his disciples. And then his disciples gave them to the multitude. Didn't complain. Didn't ask. He didn't calculate how much it was going to take. He didn't try to figure out. You know, I'm detail-oriented, but I don't get bogged down in the details. When people come up with facts and figures and calculations, you got to do this, you got to have this. My attitude is God's going to take care of all of it. I think I'm gifted a little bit because I'm just not that smart to worry about what I can't handle in my own strength. And the scripture says they ate. They all ate. Everybody say that. They all ate. Come on, say it again. Say, they all ate. And they were filled. I wonder if they had guacamole there, Will. And the Bible says, then they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left over. And those who ate were 4,000 men, women, and children. Wow! This is powerful. Because the word that he is trying to get to you and I is that we don't demand things, but we give thanks for them. And it was made so real to me, the scripture, that God knows what you need before you even ask it. And could it be that we don't even have to bring necessarily what we need today, that God knows in advance what we need, that we just need to begin to thank him for the answer that he has already provided for us. I thank you, God, that you're already provided this answer for me. I thank you that you are in charge. I thank you that you've already paid the price for this. And instead of threatening God and telling him, if you don't give me what I need right now, then I'm going to backslide and I'm going to fall away from you. God says today that if we'll give him thanks, not for the problem, not for the lack, not for the issue, but give him thanks that he is our answer. And in the midst of whatever it is that we are facing, he will come through for you and I. I know he will. Come on. Is there anybody else that believes that in the house of God today? And he is our answer. He will cleanse us when we say thank you. He will bring things and leftovers to us when we're thankful. The second story of his thankfulness is found in John chapter 11. And I love this. I love this whole chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole scripture. You know the story probably well. It's about Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, whom the Bible says that Jesus loved. They were close friends. And the Bible says that Lazarus becomes sick. And Martha and Mary were a little upset at Jesus, said, if you'd been there, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, your brother doesn't die. He's not dead. He's asleep. And they said, we know he'll rise in the resurrection. And Jesus looks at them in that great scripture. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me and lives will never die. And he who believes in me and dies shall live again. And then he says, do you believe this? And as the scripture goes down in verse 44, it says, Jesus said to her, didn't I say that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And I want you to get this. He didn't have to feed 4,000. He wasn't opening some blind eyes. He wasn't healing leprosy. Now it's a dead man who the Bible says in the King James, he'd been dead so long. I love how the King James says, he stinketh. Lazarus stinketh. He stinketh. Stinks. Stinketh. He stinks. I want to say something, but I know my boys will get on me afterwards for saying it. He stinketh. But look at what Jesus says. He doesn't say, God, we got an issue here. We got a problem. Did you know that Lazarus has been in there now over 3 days? He's dead. And everybody's here. They're watching. And I'm on the stage now and something's got. Lord, do you know what this is? No, look at what he says. He lifts up his eyes and he says, look at it. Father, I thank you. I love that. I thank you. You have heard me. He didn't even talk yet, but I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me because the people who are standing by, I said this and they may believe that you sent me. And now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, get up, come on out. Your friends are waiting here to see you. And he who had died and was bound hand and foot with grave clothes and his face was wrapped with a cloth. He came out and Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Isn't that powerful? That when we are thankful, God not only brings leftovers to you, but when we're thankful, I'm talking to a marriage here today, God will bring dead things to life. When's the last time? And believe me, I'm not speaking this about anybody in here, so just put that away. But when is the last time, sir, you just thanked God for your wife instead of complaining about what she didn't do? Ma'am, when is the last time you really thanked God for your husband instead of complaining of what he wasn't and who he wasn't? I believe with all of my heart, when we begin to thank the Lord, he does things. He can bring dead things in your life to life. He can resurrect things that stinketh and bring life into them. It's not about us demanding. It's not about us getting mad. It's about putting our faith and trust and hope in God and thanking him in advance for the things that he already has provided for us. Woo! And sometimes I think we wait. We tell God, I'm going to wait until I get what I want before I give you any thanks. Why should I thank him? I haven't even got it yet. But God says, thank him in advance. Philippians 4. In a Philippian jail, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication. Look at it. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Then let your request be made. No, we leave the thanksgiving part out of it. We just give God a list of, I need this, 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 and this. And how about if we just pause and come to God and say, Lord, I thank you in advance for what you are going to do. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful to him and bless his name. And I love how the message, this is so perfect. Here's what the Message translation says of that. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter with the password, thank you. Ooh, come on, you better connect with that today. Enter with the password, thank you. God, I thank you that you're my healer. God, I thank you that you are my deliverer. I thank you, God, that issue in my children's life is not more powerful than you. God, I thank you that you are able to give me that job that you have desired. Maybe it's not the one that I hope for, but Lord, I thank you in advance that you have already given me the one that I'm supposed to have. Lord, I thank you for the raise. I thank you for the gift. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing in my life. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourself at home talking praise. Thank him and worship him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not for everything. I don't give him thanks for everything. Some people get that twisted. Well, you know, this one got cancer and I just thank God for the cancer because it helped me to realize this and I don't give God thanks for cancer. I give him thanks in the middle of going through whatever I'm going through. It's like the guy that got in an accident and lost part of his limbs. Oh, I just thank God. Now, I don't give him thanks, but I give him thanks that despite what's happening in my life, he's going to use it. He's going to help me. He's going to bring something good to pass because of it. Come on, amen? We don't thank him for the bad, the trials, the tribulation. I mean, sometimes he's working some things out in our lives. And I came to understand today, and I was praying about this early this morning, but that some of the pressure that some of you are facing in your life, God is just maturing you to become what you are called to be. Hello. Come on. Some of you have to realize that being mature does not mean everything just goes your way. Hello. Do we train our kids like that? Do we give them everything that they want? Only when they travel with Boppy do they get that. But God uses things to mature you. I'm closing with this. Matthew Henry, the great famous Bible commentator, he wrote in his diary one night that he was robbed. And this, and he was robbed and his wallet was stolen from him. And these are the things that he wrote down about being thankful. He said, first, I'm thankful that I've never been robbed before. Secondly, he said, I'm thankful that though they took my wallet, they did not take my life. You get the mindset of this. Third, I'm thankful because even though they took it all, it wasn't very much. And finally, he said, I'm thankful because he was the one who was robbed and not the one who was robbing. Isn't that powerful? What are you thankful for in your life today? I think we've missed it to a degree, and we've just been on this demanding pedestal. And I think today is the day. I want those who are going to help with communion to come right now. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, and you receive the cup and the bread. I just want you to hold it. We're going to partake together. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, now is the time for you to do that. Just say, Lord, I just want you to come in. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. You do that. You do that right now, right while we're beginning to participate in the communion. And then when you have the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, and the cup, the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, as often as you do this, you remember me. You remember what I have done in you, for you. I want you, when you receive it today, I want you to hold on to it. Close your eyes and just begin to say, thank you, God. Maybe you're going through a tough time. You know, Garrett alluded this morning about Patty and dealing with the breast cancer. To be honest with you, I don't even like to call it that. I call it a spot that she has in her body that has cancer in it. But I'm thankful that God is our healer. And I've been doing this long enough where I've seen God do some things that just blow my mind. Incredible. And I'm just trusting Him to do it. But in it all, in the time of fear, in the time of worry, we trust Him. Somebody, they ask me all the time, How's your wife doing? How are you guys doing? Like, you know, and I understand the kindness of it, but sometimes I think that people are expecting that we're going to fall in a heap, in a pile, and just, God, why would you do this? We trust the Lord. We believe God. We thank Him that He is able to do more for us than we could ever accomplish on our own. And maybe you're in this house today. Maybe you're going through something in your life. I'm not thankful for that cancer, but I'm thankful to God that before cancer was ever created, that Jesus shed His blood. In Isaiah, 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus, said He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Today we're going to say thank you when we participate in communion together for the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Maybe you're here and you have a family member that's just been disconnected. I talk with so many people on a regular basis who has children that is away from God and who is just acting things out inappropriately. Today, we're going to say, God, I thank you that you are able to reach my children. Maybe it's a situation in your home. You know, when I say all these other things, I talk about sickness and disease and children and family issues. And then somebody says, well, I don't have enough money to pay this month or that. And we may look at that and think that's so minimal, but if it's big to you, it's big to God. You receive the cup and the bread. Just hold it. We'll all partake together in just a moment. But just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for hope. Thank you for love and for life. Thank you, God. Everybody receive that desires to participate. If you were missed and you want to participate, raise your hand. We don't want anybody to go without. Anyone? Take the bread. Keep your eyes closed. What a special moment this is this morning. I sense so much God's Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Bible says again in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. He handed it out. He looked at his disciples, your eyes closed. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat it, every one of you. And remember what I have done for you when you do. Sometimes we get going in life, we forget the importance of what he has done for us. Today, thank him for what he's done. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you, God, for giving your life. Let's partake the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus, together. Thank you, God. The scripture says in the same way, he poured and he took the cup. He says, this is my blood. The New Testament that has been shed for many. He paid for your sin with his blood. There's nothing you could do. You can't be good enough to receive the forgiveness that his blood being shed on the cross can give. You can't be good enough. You can't be perfect enough. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this blood is forgiveness, redemption, hope, peace, life, healing in his blood. Let's say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb that was shed. Let's partake of the cup together. Thank you, God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hallelujah.